Hi, welcome to Look Behind and Rewind. I'm your host, Tom Nielsen. All right, who opened the cage and let the tiger out? You know we can't have him just running loose around the studio. Sooner or later he's gonna want his own podcast, you know? And just wait until the residuals start coming in. Speaking of residuals, who's gonna clean up after him? Not me, Kemosabe. Well, as you can guess, today's theme is animals. Zoo animals. Animals in the library. Animals under your bed. Yeah, you heard me. Under your bed. I know what you've been keeping under there. And it ain't a pretty picture, believe me. You know what I mean. Those dust bunnies you just can't seem to get rid of. Yeah, those bunnies. Rabbits, hares, whatever. They're wild animals too, you know. Well, anyway.
If I could talk to the
when you were a kid, did you ever have a favorite character or a book series that you just couldn't get enough of? Well, one of mine was the Dr. Doolittle series by Hugh Lofting. Yeah, there's actually a whole series of them, not just one or two as the movies would have you believe. Well, boy oh boy, when I discovered that series in the library, I read each one of those cover to cover. I was just so fascinated by the idea of a man who could talk to the animals. And some of those animals really had a mouth on them, I tell you. They were quite funny, in fact. And the adventures they would all get into, those escapades were a young kid's version of James Bond. Really, I'm not kidding. And you know the amazing thing is, Mr. Lofting began writing those Dr. Doolittle books way back in the 1920s. They actually started out as letters to his kids, including his own hand-drawn artwork. And what's even more unbelievable is, Lofting wrote all those stories down there in the trenches while he was serving in World War I. His rationale, he said, was that these Dr. Doolittle stories would be more interesting to his kids than the actual news from the trenches, which was either too horrible or too dull. He was right on that count. That man had a really wild imagination, I tell you. It certainly kept my attention. He wrote about 15 books in all, right up to his death in 1947.
How much is that doggy in the window?
For me, I think part of the fascination had to do with animals that could talk. You see, when I was growing up, my parents never let us have a regular animal like a dog or a cat. Some of my friends had a lot of fun with their pets, especially the dog owners. As you know, dogs are pretty much willing to do anything you ask. They're very obedient that way. And you can even teach them to speak, right? Well, it's not exactly the same way human beings speak, but at least it's something. And you can do some pretty cool jokes with them. You know, like, hey Fido, what do you normally find on the top of a house? Roof, right? Or what's the opposite of soft? Rough. See what I mean?
Meow, meow.
Now, cats are a different story. You really can't train them to do that much. I think it's because they have a superiority complex. They think they're better than us human beings. Maybe it's because most cat owners spoil them up the wazoo. Hey, Mr. Fluffy, go fetch me my slippers. Yeah, right. That's not gonna happen. Not in a million years. As for me, the only pets I ever had were goldfish and turtles. Try getting a turtle to speak. Talk about Mission Impossible. Although, some of the turtles we had were pretty amazing in their own right. Now, as you probably know, most of the small dime store turtles you get at pet stores or school bazaars are rather small. And the little canisters of turtle food they send you home with are pretty much tiny vegetable flakes, right? So you'd naturally assume that your turtle is a vegetarian, correct? That's what I thought. At least until the fateful day that my mother decided to try something different.
Wow.
She was in the kitchen, you see. And the turtle's habitat, which was a plastic shoebox filled with water, was sitting right there on the kitchen counter. My mom was cooking dinner as usual. I think she was making hamburgers or something. And she looked over and she saw Timmy the turtle watching her very intently. And every once in a while, he'd stick his nose up in the air like turtles do. Maybe smell the hamburgers cooking, or maybe he was just coming up for air. Who knows? But my mom saw him do that. And like many mothers all over the world, her maternal instincts kicked in, and she immediately came to the conclusion that he was hungry. So she decided to try an experiment. She took a very teeny tiny piece of ground hamburger meat, just a small crumb, mind you, and very carefully held it near the turtle's nose. And wouldn't you know it, Timmy the turtle reared back his head and snapped at that piece of hamburger flesh like he hadn't eaten in years. Well, I guess that proved one thing. Turtles are omnivores. They'll eat anything.
What?
And so over the next few days, my mother followed that up with all sorts of other delicious treats, like roast chicken, pork chops, tuna, you name it. And Timmy ate it all. Devoured every single piece with just one gulp. Now, that wasn't the last turtle I had. Years later, when I was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we happened to find two larger box turtles in our backyard. And those guys were something else. They had legs like you wouldn't believe. In fact, they could easily have competed in the Daytona 500. They were that fast. So I named them Scooter and Dash. And it was really fun to go out in the backyard every so often and watch them race around like maniacs. To this day, I don't know whatever got into them. Maybe they were Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thanks to those strange experiments that were always going on at the nearby Sandia National Laboratories in town. Or maybe they just OD'd on Miracle-Gro.
You never know.
But enough about turtles. You know, we were talking about Dr. Doolittle just a few minutes ago. And I have to say, one of the biggest disappointments I ever had, the time my old man took me on my first visit to the zoo, was when I discovered that none of the animals there knew how to talk. Hey, I'd grown up seeing Mickey Mouse on TV, and Donald Duck and Porky Pig and all the rest of the talking Looney Tunes characters. And then I'd read the Dr. Doolittle stories. And I was fully expecting to have some meaningful conversations with the animals that day. You know, I think we were at the Turtleback Zoo in New Jersey. But that was such a letdown, I tell you. What a bummer. No talking animals. Not a single one. Not even a parrot. Of course, being as young and as precocious as I was, that was a foregone conclusion, you know? That day at Turtleback Zoo was the day that I learned there's a big difference between truth and fiction, or between a fantasy world and the real world. But you know, that happens to all of us.
Aww.
Over the years, I've made visits to a lot of other zoos around the country, including the Cleveland Zoo, the zoo at Hershey Park in Pennsylvania, the Franklin Park Zoo in Boston, and numerous others. They've all been fantastic places, really fun to go to on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon. Well, one of the most memorable zoo visits was years ago at the Philadelphia Zoo. We took my two young daughters there. And for some reason, it turned out to be a pretty rainy day, so we wound up doing a lot of the indoor attractions. And there we discovered, in one dark corner of an exhibit hall, a very unusual animal. It was the naked mole rat.
Oh my.
You heard me. Naked mole rats. Naked, I tell ya. They got that name because, unlike other rodents, they don't have any fur. They just have pinkish white skin that is wrinkled all over. and they usually live to be about 30 years old, making their home underground. And they function kind of like a colony of bees with a queen rat who is the head of the whole operation. Well, I tell you, my girls absolutely love those creatures. They couldn't get enough of them. Every time we went back to the Philly Zoo, we just had to make a stop there and check in with the naked mole rats. Can you imagine going through your whole life naked? You don't have to worry about pickpockets, that's for sure. And the next time your boss tells you, "I want to see your ass in here at 8 o'clock sharp," you can do exactly that. Won't they be surprised? On that note, you've been listening to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm Tom Nielsen. See you next time. Hi, this is Tom Nielsen. If you enjoyed this podcast, you're invited to hear more of our episodes at A Look Behind and Rewind. And feel free to share our link with friends, family, and others, as well as following us on Buzzsprout.com, Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.